So the title of the talk is Forgiveness, Restart, Reset. Computer language. I do like a quote from German philosopher Heidegger, who said one time that we forget 99.9% of every experience that we experience. We remember 0.001%, but that we call reality. And it's a fact that what we remember, that 0.001%, we tend to remember the difficult things and not the joyful ones. And they tend to stick. And then we build a view of reality based around the memories that are difficult. And then we build from there a view of reality called life. And we say, oh, life is so difficult. And we build also a self. Self, such a problem. I have so many problems. What about the 99.99% of no problem? So we do this rather automatically. It's rather under the surface. The memories, the issues, and a very large amount of the kind of definition of life as problem is actually pushed down into the unconscious. We don't want it to come up all the time, because otherwise we can't get up in the morning. So it's pushed down into the subconscious, and there it sits, giving us problems now and then. So under the surface. And what happens in retreat is that we begin to give space to things. And it doesn't matter which retreat. It can be a metta retreat, vipassana retreat, or just a retreat. But the sense of stopping, out of the habit, out of running, out of escaping, non-escape. And it's a real important character of a retreat. We just don't escape. We just sit here in the middle of the fire. And what happens by itself, stuff comes up that otherwise we don't pay attention to, that is buried, that is under, that we pushed away. And many of you experiencing that, you know, these days, and don't know why. I'm just sitting here minding my own business. There's nothing wrong. I get fed 3 times a day. I am warm, dry, and well fed. Everything is great. And why the hell is stuff coming up? And it's the reason is we give it space. And we need to. Because otherwise we just keep on with the stuff hanging around there. So the attention to the inner life is enough to allow material to arise that otherwise we wouldn't want to see and is pushed away. And we only can see here what arises. So we're only able to see what comes to the surface. What's under the surface, it just doesn't come. It's voices that we don't listen to. We can listen to voices that come up. The voices that come up is not exactly in our hands. We don't design the process and decide, I'm ready for that voice to turn up. And I know, no, a bit difficult that one. I'll have the other one. I'll get that for you. Come on, I'm listening, I'm listening. It's not in our hands. Just like the way we received the difficult experiences is not in our hands, the way they come up to us is not in our hands. So it's, and by the way, I've had an opportunity in the groups and sometimes in one-to-ones to give some teaching on this, but I'd like to say to everybody that we don't try and deal with all the mess in one go. We just, whatever comes up is good enough. We can work with the signs of what comes up. So we may have a lot of anxiety somewhere buried down and we don't see it because we're spending a whole life pushing it away. But what comes up is pressure in the chest area. We might feel pressure here, pitong. Oh, and it's there and it's come there and it's this way and that way and that way. But we should say thank you because that's the sign. It's showing something to us in the way that it can do. How much we're ready for it, it's showing a sign. We work with whatever sign we can. So if it's pressure in the chest, that's good enough. It's a good place to be. And we work with it with awareness, attention, and softness and kindness. Not against these voices. We are for them. They are our partners. They are our life. They are us. The last thing we want to do is try and shut them up, be against them, fight them. We acknowledge their partners, although we may not be comfortable with them, but we need to welcome them in. So whatever sign arises from our inner life, a sign of difficulty, it's good enough to work with. And it's a kind of gift saying, yes, you can work. It's like the handle. We need to look for a handle. And the handle is often the body. Something that coming into the body. And the way we work with it in, as you know, in Vipassana, in with mindful awareness, is the sense that we can hold this material, whatever, however it comes up, in the palm of our hand. We are able to hold it and see it. And if we do that, we are bigger than it. It's not bigger than us. We are bigger than it. Because we can hold it in attention. Here it is. The whole disaster is actually just a contraction in the tummy right now. Oh, okay. I can be with that. That's all right. And I'm bigger than that. Because I can hold it, I can see it, I can be with it. I can see the way it changes and moves and disappears and comes again. And I'm still here. So this you know already from... this is the way mindfulness works. And in addition to that, in this retreat we are applying intentionally kindness and compassion to the material coming up in us. And kindness and compassion to the world and to others and to images of people and others. So we're engaging the heart. But I want to, in the last exercise with Simi, we opened another avenue, another track. And this is the track of forgiveness. And so I want to talk a bit about forgiveness in this talk. And what it is actually, and what its importance, and how to do it. Forgiveness is another step or another side of purification, tihur. It's about another way of letting go of stuff that's hanging around. And it needs an understanding, a deep understanding, that things are not stuck. They don't have. There isn't such a thing really as fate, goral. Rule of karma, if you do this, you will suffer that. There isn't, it isn't like that. The reality is very flexible, very dynamic. And I want to tell two stories about forgiveness. And one Buddhist story from the Buddhist text and one Jewish story from the Jewish text. The Buddhist, classic Buddhist story about forgiveness is a story of Angulimala. And Angulimala was student of a yogi, yoga master, the kind of guru that the last thing you want is a guru like that. Just, it's a good warning, be careful of gurus. So the guru was insulted, his ego was hurt, and he told Angulimala, go to the forest and kill 1,000 people. And Angulimala went to the forest and started to kill people. And he killed 999 people, and according to the tradition, his mother was going to go to the forest, and the Buddha realized this and said, no, wait, he can't kill his mother, that's crazy, I'm going. And the monk said, no, don't go. He said, yes, I'm going, and don't go with me, I want to go alone. So he went into the forest alone. He met Angulimala. Angulimala chased him with swords and knives and couldn't catch him. The Buddha walked and walked, and Angulimala couldn't catch him. And Angulimala said to him, stop. And the Buddha just kept on walking, and Angulimala couldn't catch him. And he said, stop. So the Buddha turned around and said, you stop. I stopped a long time ago. One of those sentences that stay with me my whole life from the text and kind of make me cry every time I think about it. Just such a beautiful, beautiful summary of the whole of the Dharma. You stop. I stopped a long time ago. So the Angulimala said to the Buddha, whoa, who are you? no one's ever done that to me before. People either run away and I kill them, or they fight me and I kill them, or they beg for mercy and I kill them. But, you know, you're a different guy. So the Buddha said, okay, I'll tell you. Sit down and we'll talk. So the Buddha sat with him and he became a monk. And he became an arhant, quite a high stage, sort of a pre-Buddha stage. But what was important in this is that he afterwards became a healer, Angulimala, a monk. He went round the villages and he was able to heal others. And somehow forgiveness happened totally, nearly totally. When he went round to the villages, sometimes the villagers saw him and realized he was Angulimala and he'd killed members of their family. So they would hit him or throw stones on him. And he went to the Buddha and said, what shall I do? And the Buddha said, 99% of the karma that you created is gone. Just by being a monk and by practicing purifying, you purified all that heavy, heavy karma of killing 999 people. It's gone. But 1% left over. And this is the sticks and the stones that will be thrown on you. And these you have to bear. Just bear it. I mean, the good news is that 99% of all that heavy karma, guilt, shame, blame, damage, all gone. Forgiveness happened not through, just through life. He didn't bear 99% of the karma, just 1%. Gone. And it's very hopeful. In other words, things are dynamic, they go. Things that we want, that we carry, they go. The other story is from the book of Jonah, Yonah. In it's a very classic story in the Bible on forgiveness. And again, many, many themes of forgiveness in this story. I won't go into it, but just one aspect, which is so beautiful, that Yonah, he was swallowed by the fish. And in the fish, he went through a meditation retreat. That was it. If you read the book, that's it. He reached rock bottom. Zero. He reached his Ephes. Ephes inside him, you know. There he went to the bottom of the sea, the bottom of the he said, I'm drowned, I'm finished, I'm in the end, I'm nowhere else to go. There are bars, I'm in a prison under the water, in the fish. Like dark, dark shamanistic death experience, but we can call it deep samadhi. And he came out of it with a purpose. And because of the strength of what he went through, he was able to act with incredible power, which before he couldn't. Before that, he ran away. He went to Tarshiha instead of Nineveh. He was running away. He was afraid. He couldn't do it. But he came out of that experience. And I wish you all blessings that you come out of the experience of this big fish that we're in right now with real power to act in life. Because we're in the same fish right here. And he was able to change the fate of the city of Nineveh, which is the capital of Ashur, and a terrible, cruel kingdom. And they changed everything. They changed completely. And it was wiped out. They were not punished. They were not killed. Nothing happened to them because they changed. They just asked for forgiveness, and it happened. He wasn't too happy with that, Yonah, by the way. He wanted them to be punished. He still had a kind of in his mind a narrative, a story of reward and punishment, sachar va'onesh. He still had that, you know, narrative. He wasn't yet developed enough. But actually, forgiveness was really total, and it didn't come from him. It came from God. In other words, it was beyond. It's something beyond. The same with Angulimala. It came from above. The forgiveness came from above, came from a deeper place, not the place of karma, the goral, that because I did, then I will, that I have to be guilty and shame and so on. It comes from another place, and total forgiveness. So, message for us, we can let go of the stuff that's hanging around. We can let it go. And if we do, it goes. We can let things go, and they are gone. This reset is always possible. It's not about forgetting. The memory carries on. We can remember stuff. It's not a problem to remember. It's just not holding on. It's not investing in denial or in suppression or in letting the stuff work inside us. Remembering is fine, but it doesn't work in us anymore. The stuff doesn't work. It's gone as a power to put us in prison. And it just becomes a memory. I remember we had two retreats with Germans and Israelis on the subject of the Holocaust and on the Shoah. And we really went through a lot. One retreat in Berlin and one retreat here in Kleel, and including a silent walk and a silent day of meditation in a concentration camp in Germany. And we didn't, there was this real inner work of not cancelling anything, not trying to deny the pain or forget anything, but knowing that if we hold on to a story of the victim, or the Germans had a story which is the opposite one, but giving them pain just as much, we hold on to that, our joy of life and our freedom, just like Yonah, our freedom is taken away. And we don't know where it goes. Because the thing is working inside us, the narrative, the story of the victim or of this, or being busy with it, or making it an icon as it's done here in Israel. The Shoah has become a huge icon. We're busy with it all the time, going around it all the time. Yes, huge pain happened. We can be with that pain, but it doesn't need to work in us as a story, as a narrative, as an unconscious theme that just steals our joy. And the Germans too. And we went through in a few days a real purification. None of it forgetting, not about forgetting, but about cleaning the past so that we can be fully free and joyful in the present without forgetting that it happened, and feeling pain when pain comes, but not letting it sit there in the as a dominant narrative. So I'll talk a little bit how we do this. The first thing is we need to take responsibility for our voices inside us. The unconscious stuff. And here is a little bit delicate, because we need to take responsibility rather than blame other people and say it's them. And taking responsibility is saying, yes, it exists as a memory or as a theme or as a narrative or as a story inside me. Yes, it's there. I have a nice image from the film Agatha Vipassana. I don't know if you have seen it. Some of you have seen the film. It's a really, very lovely film. And the nice part of it is when the asirim, the prisoners in the Indian jail, they come out after 10-day vipassana retreat, and they're crying, and they're saying, now I realize I can't blame anybody else, I can't blame my parents, I can't blame the society, I have to say, yes, I did it, and take responsibility for it. And that was a great relief for them. So, yes, we take responsibility, meaning that it isn't anyone else that we need to blame. The stuff has come in, and it's there. So we have to deal with the stuff inside us. Never mind, it's just injustice. It shouldn't have happened. It doesn't matter. It happened. We have stories, issues, problems. Okay, it happened. Because of responsibility in the Jewish world, it's often associated with action, that forgiveness needs action, that you do go out and you do fix damage that you did. And it can be a very useful thing sometimes. It can be helpful to say, to express, to confess. I mean, it's the major, major theme in Catholicism is the confession to the priest. It's like become a major ritual in the whole Catholic faith. So, and the confession is about cleaning. And so that act of confession and the cleaning has become a kind of a core, a basis of the whole Catholic religion. So taking responsibility is a movement, and it's acknowledging that we do damage. We cannot avoid it. We are part of a world that's doing damage. We are, every time we use the water, we eat the food, we eat living beings, never mind if it's a lettuce, the chasa. You're still a living being. We're eating living beings. We're stepping on living beings. We're killing living beings. We're taking away ecology from living beings. Because the kibbutz exists, there's no tanim and porcupines, dorbanim or whatever. Then we shut them away. We're doing damage. I remember the other one day I was just walking in the streets of a city, I don't know which city, I can't remember. But I was really, the whole day, I was asking for forgiveness. And I was really in tears when I thought about it, for the damage I do by just existing. The damage I do, all the things I use, all the water, the fire, the energy, the electricity, the streets, the houses, everything I'm using, I'm part of it, and hurting the planet, and hurting others in ways I don't know, and hurting other beings in ways I can't even imagine. And I really felt suddenly, in this day I remember, that I really asked forgiveness the whole day, as I was walking through the city, for what I did and do and cannot avoid. So we do damage. We do damage to each other. We do damage to people close to us. We have to acknowledge that. We can't avoid it. There isn't such a thing as 100% goodness. There's not such a thing. We will do damage to ourselves and others. But instead of guilt, instead of blame, the only thing we need to do when we do damage is be clear that we do it as much as possible, be wise about it, be clear about it, and try not to do it. There's a very famous Buddhist text when the Buddha talked to his son, Rahula, and it's about this. The Buddha said, look, when you do an action that causes suffering to yourself or to others, the only thing to do is check it out. Look at yourself. Did you do an action that causes suffering to others? Knowing it as clearly as you can, and then saying, okay, I understand, I will try not to do it in the future. Finished. No guilt, no blame, no building out of it anything. I remember in one of the workshops we did with Israelis and Palestinians, and some of the Israelis were really upset about what happened to the Palestinians. And the Palestinians were saying, we lost our land, lost our home, lost our place, lost our children in the jails. And the Israelis there were really so guilty and saying we were so guilty. And then the Palestinians said to them, we don't want your guilt. It doesn't help us. Stop being guilty. What helps us is a free human being that will go out there and give us a hand and listen to us. The guilt doesn't do anything. And the Buddha said that to Rahula. Don't be guilty. Just know clearly that you've done something that is unwise or unhelpful, that causes suffering, and decide not to do it again. That's all. So the first step is take responsibility for what we do, what we have, what we are, what's coming up, what are the voices, and not blame others, not deny, not suppress, just allow. The second step is intention, and that's the key. Intention to clean the past. Intention to reset. Intention to let go. It's a deep intention. It's saying, at this moment, I am stepping out of the old, of the past, of the prison of the past. I am stepping out into the new moment. Clean, new, fresh. I step out. Take a step out of all that stuff. That's an intention to reset, to press the button on the computer, restart. The phrases there are phrases that you can use, just like the phrases for metta, and you seem you was using one of or more this just now. A phrase in English that is kind of classic is about relating to my own harming myself. For all the ways I have hurt or harmed myself, knowingly or unknowingly, I offer forgiveness. So I'm now talking about myself. If we hurt ourselves, all the ways I hurt myself, I carry hurt. I offer forgiveness. It's a phrase to kind of trigger that sense of starting again, of cleaning the past, of letting go, of intentionally letting go. And like the confession in the Catholic Church. So there is a quality of very important in the Dharma world. The Dharma world is really working a lot with qualities. Echuyot, midot. And there's a quality which is one of the first qualities that is developed through the spiritual life of a Buddhist practice. And that is vitur, renunciation. Renunciation is that intention to let go. It's also intention, I don't need this. The intention to be simple, the intention not to hold stuff, the intention not to hold on. I let this go, I don't need this. Addictions, dependence, attachments, guilts, unconscious pains, narratives, stories, issues around ourselves, issues around others. Renunciation. I let it go. And it's a quality of life that goes through everything we do. We can really enjoy this power we have to let go through intention. Zil, it's done. I'm in a new place. I don't need it anymore. I'm not going there anymore. I don't go through Kfar Yassif. I drive there through Kfar Yassif every day, and there's loads of signs, shawarma, meat, big pictures of meat. I don't need to think, oh, maybe I want shawarma now. It's done a long time ago. 40 years ago, I was gave up eating meat when in India. I don't have to think about it anymore. And the same with, that's renunciation, that's gone. And it's this beautiful power we have to say, gone, 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 gone. And we're left free. We drop the baggage. Just drop the baggage. So that's an intention, and it can be done at any time, and it just needs this understanding. I dropped it. It is dropped. As much as you can, as clearly as you can, dropped, done, finished, gone. Can be unconscious stuff coming up, can be voices in the mind, can be voices in the body, can be things you did to other people, things you did to yourself. It can be all under, you know, what's under the surface, mitachata, pnei shetach. So another very important aspect of forgiveness, of resetting, is the real understanding of that things actually also go by themselves. That in a way, we don't need to work so hard to get rid of stuff because it goes by itself. I asked Rachel, my wife, about the word tikkun. She's tikkun is like forgiveness, is repairing, is fixing, is going to another place. And she said the real meaning in the Kabbalah of tikkun is hatkana, is resetting, is putting another program in the computer, is getting out the old program and resetting the computer and putting a new program, hatkana, to install fresh new programs. So we are it's fundamental to Dharma practice that we have to see reality as passing and arising and finishing. And that's underneath everything we're doing. It doesn't matter whether we're phrases, whether working with kindness, whether working with awareness, in anything we do, we always need to be clear that everything has a kind of a short shelf life, chaye madaf, ma'od katzara. It comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. A phrase that we say, even it's there, it does its work, it's gone, and we say it again, or we don't say it again. Everything that happens has its own end. If we see that, it makes letting go so much, we don't need to work so hard, because we notice how things go by themselves. To be interested in the ending of things. It's a really important instruction in mindfulness. Be interested in the ending of things. A thought, a feeling, a pressure, a story, a trouble, a difficulty, a pain, a pleasure, a joy, a doubt, a resistance. Nothing is fixed, nothing is solid, nothing is made of stone. The whole human being is moving, all the time. Everything is moving, everything is changing, everything is dynamic. So what we're doing in a way by forgiveness or resetting is acknowledging the truth that even if that things are falling through our fingers all the time, it's just the truth of things, that everything is going by itself. We think it's stuck. I've got this big issue that keeps going around. I've got this big issue that keeps going around. I've got this big issue that keeps going around. I've got this big issue that keeps going around. Well, wait a minute. Who made that? We just got a story that it's stuck. But is it really stuck? If we look at it, is it really stuck? It has life. Life doesn't stand still. In the present moment, inside the present moment, the now, the power of now, in the now, we will see that. If we're busy with what will be, what was, what I need, if I do this, then that will happen. If I don't do this, then im as. If we're busy with that sense of things, the retzef, the continuation of things, we'll believe in continuation, it will feel like, life will feel like that. But if we open our eyes and look straight at life, it's gone as we look at it. So it's the not looking that makes things seem stuck. But as soon as we look life in the eyes, whoop, everything is, every story is just vanishing before while we see it. So we need to see that and see the dynamic nature of things, and we see also that they come and go, and that they come in because of conditions, and that's the wisdom of the Dharma. The conditions created this thing that is heavy on me, that I need to apply forgiveness. I need to do reset because of these. But if we look carefully, it's conditions that created it. Conditions are different now. Everything is different now. I don't need to hold on to things. They've already gone. They already passed. And they're not even mine in the first place. And here is a little bit of a delicate thing. I said take responsibility, but indeed, in a way, in a deeper way, things don't belong to us. And this is a deeper wisdom. Take responsibility means I'm ready for it. I'm ready to engage with what is coming up in my life. And imuchan, you know, to work, lavodim. I can't just leave it and say it's somebody else, it's because of them, and because my father, the whole thing is because of him, or my mother, or my society, or Bibi Netanyahu, or it's all because of them. No, take responsibility means I'm here with all the stuff, but actually a deeper wisdom says it's not really yours anyway. If you look carefully, what is it that we really own? We have a story running through us. Is it ours? Did we invent it? Did we invite it? Did we say, I want the story of my suffering. I'm waiting for it. I'm just sitting here waiting. And I really need that story to arrive of my victim. I'm waiting to be a victim. It comes and it goes, and things come and things go. So it's kind of it's really practical. Part of reset is knowing that we don't need to feel ownership of those voices that give us trouble. They come through us, they come because the society did it to us, put the voices in us, and then we have them. But who do they belong to really? They're all over, they're running through us. So a kind of clarity that samsara is the problem, not me. And that's a wisdom. So we have something that makes, we feel pain coming up here in the retreat, we feel struggle and pain in the heart. But we can just get a sense, wait a minute, do I really need to own it, or is it just a voice that has arrived and stayed, and I can let it pass through? Welcome, shalom, bye-bye. So we're more like partners with these voices, but that we don't need to own them. They come through the system. So that's the deepest forgiveness. The deepest level of forgiveness is a deep clarity that we don't really own these, and that these voices come and go by themselves. And we just have to really see that and feel the freedom, deep freedom. So forgiveness, or resetting in the present moment, this stepping out of the old into the new now, fresh, new, original, never happened before, this moment. No need to drag any past in into this moment. Here it is. This is life, right now. So that action releases a huge energy. I remember when I was working a lot with more in the world of healing and medicine. So there used to be a lot of work with cancer patients, and groups of cancer patients. And one of the places that became very clear that there was a question: how can a group discuss a kind of group sharing or group work of people with cancer? How can it help to cure cancer? And the answer is that in very often people who were in groups and found a deep forgiveness in the discussion in groups found new life. That the release of the forgiveness releases power of life, which otherwise we are stuck in shame, in blame, in closing, in... No, the letting go releases the power of life, and the power of life can heal us. There is a very powerful Jungian, Jewish, Kabbalistic image of the Leviathan. And then we all have it, this image in us of the kind of big monster under the water, the unconscious mind. And it's only big because it's under the water. It's only big, the Leviathan, because it's hidden under the water. And I wrote an article about Leviathan in my book, and it's exactly about this. As long as it's under the water, monster.
Wow. Look at it down there.
But as soon as we kind of engage with it, it gives life. It's a fish. It's water. It's playful. It's no longer Leviathan. It's something we can engage with. It's a power. It's an unconscious power. Leviathan, kamo nachash. It's an unconscious power that will, power of life that will, we use it. We enjoy it. It is living us, living us, enlivening us. So forgiveness or resetting or undoing the past, undoing the control of the past, releases so much energy. So final word. We discover that we are fundamentally pure and free. We really never were Kielu contaminated by all this stuff, by all these stories. We're not really, if we look carefully, we're not really mezahem, mezuham, contaminated. We are fundamentally pure. We just got stuck with the efes achuz of the things that we find difficult, and they stay with us. But we're actually very pure in our nature, Buddha nature. And the more we kind of look at the stuff and see that it's possible to let it, it's dynamic, it's not solid, and we can give intention to purify, to reset, to go out of it, to step out into the fresh new moment of our life, we discover more and more that we are fundamentally pure and free. Okay, thank you. We'll take a moment.